Like to at this time dismiss Junior Church. And as they do that, I would like to commend our graduates for your hard work. It didn't take a day for you to be in the spot that you are. It took lots of hard work, lots of studying. And we want to commend you this morning. We are excited for your futures and what God has in store. Let's open up in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your great love for us. And Father, we think of these graduates now. Lord, as they've got their whole lives before you and before them, Lord, I pray that they would consider you in their future plans. We thank you for what you've done in each one's life. And Father, we're excited for them. Lord, we pray. We ask for your hand of blessing over the service today. We pray, Lord, for everyone in here. Father, as we get around and as we center on your word, this isn't just for a specific group of people. Lord, this is for all of us. I pray that our hearts and our minds, Lord, would be open to your word. I pray that your spirit would help us to understand, Lord, would convict us maybe if necessary. Father, I pray that you would speak to us where we are at. Lord, we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you, at the end of your life, look back and regret how you have lived? Or will you be well seasoned in your spiritual growth? Will you think to yourself, there have been a lot of opportunities for me to have grown close to the Lord that I have missed? Or will you say, I have walked closely with the Lord my whole life? Perhaps you have not thought any of these thoughts yet. But there may very well come a time and a day when you will. My question today is not just for the graduates that are up here this morning. My question is for all of us, including myself, and it is a question that I can't answer for you guys. It is not a question that your parents can answer for you. It is not a question that your grandparents can answer for you, that your co-workers, that your family members can answer for you. It is a question that you can answer for yourself. This is a question that no one else can answer for us this morning, and it is this question. How important is it to me that I live a victorious Christian life? I want to ask that question again. How important is it to you that I live a victorious Christian life? Living a victorious Christian life is something that is important to God. God has given us in His Word illustrations, He has given us warnings, and He has given us godly examples in the Bible as to how we are to live this life. It may be that you have found yourself this morning in the defining moments of your life where you're asking yourself these questions. What kind of a person am I going to become? What priorities will take first place in my life? And am I going to serve man with my whole life, or am I going to serve God? Maybe you are facing those questions today. The Apostle Paul reflected back on his life as he faced certain death, and as he faced that death, he was certain of his future, and in it he found hope and he found joy. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy. That's where we're going to be spending our time today, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul is in chains. He's writing this letter to a young man in the ministry by the name of Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And in this letter, the Apostle Paul reflects back on his life. He says this, if you'll read with me, starting in verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved my appearing. The Apostle Paul reflects on his past, present, and future ministry, which is meant to encourage Timothy to live a victorious Christian life. The very first reflection that the Apostle Paul gives is of his present ministry. That's the very first point in your notes. Paul's present ministry, that's the very first thing that he reflects upon in verse 6. Let's read that verse one more time. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. When Katie and I were living in Arizona, it would get nuclear hot in the summertime. I'll never forget it. In fact, where we were living, it would take us 2 hours to drive to the nearest Walmart. And if you've been to Arizona, it's not a rare thing to see shredded up tires on the sides of the road as you're traveling. In fact, one of the times that I loved while we were out there was during monsoon season, watching some of those rainstorms come in. Some would say that when those rainstorms would come, it would get so hot that the rain would actually evaporate before it hit the ground. It would actually evaporate before it hit the ground. A drink offering would eventually evaporate as well. I want to look to this drink offering that the Apostle Paul takes note of right here in verse 6. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. In the Old Testament, what you would have is you would have a sacrifice that was placed upon an altar. And underneath that altar, you would have this fire. And so it would get blazing hot on top of this altar. And you would take this wine, which was the drink offering, and you would pour that wine onto that sacrifice, which would then go onto the altar, and then it would evaporate. This is what J. Vernon McGee says. That is exactly what Paul is saying. Paul is saying here, I have just poured out my life as a drink offering on the sacrifice of Christ. Here Paul is imprisoned in Rome. And his ministry is not yet over. He's facing death. And he writes 2 Timothy, and he's encouraging him in the ministry, and he reminds him of the hope that he has in Christ. Here, the Apostle Paul could have been discouraged, but I want us to notice something here. This is in the present tense. He could have been discouraged. He could have said, you know what? Lord, I'm done with the ministry. Here, I've come to this point in my life. I'm in chains. I'm discouraged. But he doesn't do that. Here he is. He's still encouraging. He's still exhorting. He's still looking forward to the future that is before him. And what he considers is this, is that even though he is imprisoned in Rome, even though that he's in chains, he still considers this fact. He has a present ministry still. As long as he's on this earth, he still considers himself to have a present ministry. Notice with me what it says in chapter 1, verse 16. Right at the end of the verse there, it says, and was not ashamed of my chains. This person was not ashamed of his chains. The Apostle Paul was in chains. Here he was. But his focus is on the Lord. That becomes evident when we look at what it says in verse 6, right at the very end of that verse, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6, he says, and the time of my departure has come. One commentary had this to say. Paul speaks of certain death like we would, boarding a plane. And that's just it. Graduates, I want you to be reminded of this truth today. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when you trust Him to save you from your sin, your eternal future is in heaven. It's in glory with the Lord. And so as you are here on this world, you are really just a pilgrim passing through. Just remember that. You are just a pilgrim passing through. I remember it seemed like just yesterday I was in the shoes of the graduates. I was graduating high school myself, and one thing I told myself was I would never end up in the state of Michigan. I wanted to move on. I wanted to move out of where I was staying. I didn't want to live back in the state of Michigan at all. Never tell the Lord never. It might be that the Lord is going to call you into full-time ministry. He might call you into the pastorate. He might call you to be a pastor's wife. He might call you to be a missionary, to be in full-time missionary service, in full-time ministry, whatever that might look like. Never tell the Lord no. I was sure of three things. I would never move back to the state of Michigan. I was never, ever, ever, ever going to live in a country. I wanted to live in the city. And I was never, ever, ever going to be a pastor. The Lord had other plans for my life. The reality is this, though. Whether the Lord calls you in a full-time vocational ministry or not, when the Lord saves you, He gives you a ministry. And that's for everyone, across the board, for all believers. When the Lord saves you, He gives you a ministry to fulfill. And that was the case for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, at one time in his life, we've been going through the book of Acts, and what we have seen is that the Apostle Paul at one time was named Saul, and he was persecuting the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And as he was doing that, he would have never associated himself with those Christians. But the Lord had different plans for the Apostle Paul's life. The Lord saved him and gave him a ministry to fulfill. Guarantee you, graduates, when you leave, if you leave this area or if you stay, there is going to be a temptation, I believe, in one of two areas. One of the temptations, I believe, will be this. Whether you stay here or you leave this area and you're going to college somewhere else, one of the temptations will be this. Get up and leave the church altogether. You know what? I'm going to just focus on my schoolwork. I'm just going to focus on my college degree. I'm not going to really put forth the time to go to church. Don't do that. Don't step out of church. That's going to be a very real temptation. Another temptation, I believe, will be this. It will be to maybe go to church, but to not really get to know the people that are there in that church. To not be a blessing, maybe just to go. I want to challenge you to serve. I want to challenge you to serve in that local church. Be a blessing to that local church, wherever it will be, whether it would be here or not. I think that at times we remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. But we forget verse 10. Let's remember that when God saves us, He gives us a ministry to fulfill. The Apostle Paul had a present ministry in prison. There he was. He could have been discouraged himself, but he continues on. And he's exhorting and he's helping out Timothy, others in the ministry, and he continues forth. The second thing that we see is this. We see Paul's past recollection. Paul's past recollection. We see that in verse 7. Look with me there. It says this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. There are three things that the Apostle Paul says here. He says, I have, and I have. These three I haves are in the perfect tense, meaning that these were actions that were made in the past that are still continuing on in the present. And in essence, what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy is this. He's saying to Timothy, it is possible to fight the good fight, no matter where life takes you. It is possible to finish the course because God is not going to give you more than you can handle. It is possible to keep the faith because our faith is grounded in the one who is able. And I can imagine that as the Apostle Paul was locked up in prison, he could have looked back at scenarios in his own life and he could have said, the Lord was faithful to me. I want to look at that word there that the Apostle Paul uses. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. He's using the illustration of a boxer and an athlete. And then he transitions into the stewardship of the ministry that God had called him to. When he says this, I have kept the faith. What an example for us. What an encouragement to Timothy. I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight. Notice with me, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The Apostle Paul uses this. He uses that word fight. It's used 6 times in the New Testament. In chapter 6, verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. He's writing this letter. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Apostle Paul wrote that letter to Timothy there, and he was telling Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight. We see that word fight there in 1 Timothy. We also see it right here in 2 Timothy. Whereas in 1 Timothy, he's directing that, fight the good fight to Timothy. Whereas here we see it in this way, I have fought the good fight. He's saying that of himself. I have fought the good fight myself. He's telling Timothy, you fight the good fight. You consider the grace that God has given to you. And you take hold of that eternity that awaits you. I'm reminded of something that C.T. Studd once said. He said, only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. And in the case of the Apostle Paul, what was done for Christ was remembered. He was reflecting back on his past ministry. The Apostle Paul writes, finish the course. Paul completed the ministry that God had called him to. And we need to ask ourselves this question this morning. What specifically was the ministry that the Apostle Paul had? The Apostle Paul received specific instruction by Jesus Christ to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write these 2 verses down. He mentions that that is specifically the case in Romans chapter 15, verses 15 through 16. As well as in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18. That is why it is so important if we're going to develop a theology based off of salvation that we go right to the Pauline epistles, because the specific instruction that he received from the Lord was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And he says, I have finished the course. I have done what the Lord has wanted me to do. When you do what God has called you to do, you will be the winner. It won't be an easy road, but it will be a road worth going down. It wasn't an easy road for the Apostle Paul. Notice with me what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul alludes back to an instance in his ministry. Remember that that road was not an easy road to go down. Verse 16, he says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. It wasn't always an easy road for the Apostle Paul. Here, he had been instrumental in sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. He had been instrumental in pouring out his life into individuals. He had an incredible ministry, and it blows me away that nobody supported him. At his first defense, nobody came by him. He says, but all deserted me. He could have become very discouraged. I want to let you know that. He could have given up. He could have thrown in the towel. He could have had this woe is me attitude, but he does something incredible. He keeps his eyes focused on Jesus Christ because he knew that if he was going to throw in the towel, that's exactly what Satan would have wanted him to do. So we are praying for you, graduates, and for anyone else in here. Maybe if you would think about leaving the area, that you would step into a solid Bible teaching preaching church. I want to challenge you in 2 ways. Serve that local church. I want to challenge you in that way, number one. And number two, I just want to challenge to remind you that Jesus Christ is going to be with you no matter what. Jesus Christ is going to be with you every step of the way. Don't forget that as well, because in life there are going to be discouragements, there are going to be hardships. But what you need to remember is that Jesus Christ is going to be by your side every step of the way. There are going to be people who are going to disappoint you. There are going to be people who will turn their backs on you, but I know one who won't. I know one who will stay right by your side, and that is our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finish the course. That's what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. You finish the course. Do not resist God's will by sitting on a fence, Timothy. You keep moving forward. You finish the course that God has given to you. Jonah once was given instruction by God, and that instruction was to preach a message to a very hostile people. And Jonah said, uh-uh. And he turned around and he went the other way. Did Jonah win? No, he didn't win. What happened? He ended up in the belly of a fish. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Abraham and Lot, they decided to separate from each other in Genesis chapter 13. And Abraham looked to the Lord. Lot, if you'll remember with me, he took the most logical route. He wanted to find the place that was the most fruitful. He was looking for the most desirable place. He didn't consider the Lord's opinion in the matter. He said, I just want to do the most logical thing. Sometimes the most logical thing isn't the best thing. I want to challenge you, when you make decisions, you go to the Lord. What we know about Lot is that he lost out in that decision, big time. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He encourages Timothy to do the same. The Apostle Paul reflects on this last thing in verse 8. Read with me. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In this, we see Paul's future glory. Paul's future glory. As the Apostle Paul was writing from his prison cell, there was this sense of anticipation and excitement for future things. And he reveals three things right here in verse 8. Number one, he reveals what his future reward will be. Number two, he reveals who his rewarder will be. And number three, he reveals who the recipients will be of that reward. I want to look at those first two things, the reward and the rewarder. The Apostle Paul says, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. There are some who believe that this is a symbolic crown of righteousness. There are others who believe that this is a literal crown of righteousness. The Greek word for this word crown is stephanos, which was a reference to a literal victor's crown or a wreath in the athletic games when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. This was a particular crown that was awarded to the winner of the Greek games. Now, I cannot personally dogmatically state whether or not this was a symbolic crown or a literal crown. But what I can say is that as the Apostle Paul considered his present ministry as he was writing this letter, and as he considered his past and the ministry that God had called him to, and as he looked forward to that future, he knew that that reward was his to gain. Which tells us about the second thing that he reveals, the rewarder. The Apostle Paul writes, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. In Paul's day, there were judges in place for these athletic games. They may have made inaccurate calls. They may have made unfair judgments, and they could have even at times taken bribes. The Apostle Paul says, I know who my judge is. My judge, in glory, in all of his glory, stepped down from eternity into our world, and he gave himself upon a cross. The Apostle Paul knew all of that. One of the joys of living a life that is yielded to Jesus Christ is knowing that there will be reward. I want to say this, that when we get before our Savior someday, when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, he becomes your rewarder. I want to let you know that our eternal destiny is settled at the cross. Scripture says that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Believers, when you get before the Lord, it is not a matter of where you will be spending eternity. That is settled at the cross. But Jesus Christ is our rewarder for how we live our lives here and now. We cannot forget that. The Apostle Paul was reminded of that, and with it, it brought great joy. So he's saying, don't be a lukewarm Christian. Don't sit on a fence. I believe that right now the Lord is allowing this world to go through a very spiritually dark time. But I do know this, that there is light, and it is in Jesus Christ. And for those who yield their lives to Jesus Christ, that light shines the brightest. I want to say, graduates, as you head on from here, be a light to this world. Yield yourselves to Jesus Christ, to his word. As we conclude this morning, a few thoughts. We are only pilgrims passing through this life. What you do for Christ is going to last. What you accumulate in this life, all of the stuff, the money, all of it, you cannot take with you. We need to be reminded of that from time to time, don't we? We can't take any of that stuff with us. So what is it when we get before the Lord? It is just us and him and what we have done for him. I want to encourage you to remember that you are a pilgrim just passing through this life. Will you live a victorious Christian life? The choice is yours and mine. The choice is ours to make. It's not let go and let God. It's trust God and get going. Trust God and get going. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that if anyone has come in here this morning who has never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, help them to see that they are in need of a Savior, that sin separates us, mankind, from you. There is nothing that we can do to be right with you. Lord, I pray that you might help, maybe if someone has come in here, has never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, help them to see that they need you. Father, I pray for the rest of us that are here today, and I think of these graduates. Lord, may we continue to look to you. Father, we thank you for the joy and the blessing it is of knowing you, of walking with you, and of taking heart in knowing that our home is not here. It's not in this world. Father, our home is with you. We're just pilgrims passing through. Help us to be reminded of that this week. Father, we thank you for the blessing, the blessings that you give to us each day. Lord, I want to just specifically pray for these graduates now. Pray that they may continue to walk with you as they need to. May they continue to look to you, and I pray that their heart's desire would be to serve you with their lives. We thank you for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.